Now, for the gospel, we're given a choice. We can either do John 20, 19 to 23, or John 14, 15 to 16. And so that you, to facilitate the choice, as I have been doing with these other choices during this season, we're going to do two sections, one on John 20, and then a section on John 14. So we start now with this. We're in the middle of chapter 20. We've had that first, we've already had the appearance to Mary Magdalene, which is the first one. And then we have her go and announce to the disciples the key word, I have seen the Lord, okay? That's the key word. And so she went, Eoraka ton kirion, I have seen the Lord, and this is what he said to her. And now we start with verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, closed, where the disciples were because of the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Shalom lachem, peace be to you. Shalom. That's the word, huh? Peace. Turn on the TV, look at the newspaper. Where do you see peace? Even when there isn't just outright war and riot, all disturbed people, they want more money, they're afraid of the government, they're afraid to die, they're losing their job. Where is shalom? Shalom is in reconciliation with the Father. And that is the work of the act of love in which Jesus died, into which we are baptized. And so the whole of the Christian life is yielding to that work of Christ, which begins in our baptism, until we are in transforming union. We have no idea of our greatness even as we're on the way. I think I've quoted before how St. Catherine of Siena, the Lord told her, if you saw one soul in the state of grace, you'd worship them. You'd think it was me. That's how glorious I make you. You see? So now we're in verse 19 of this chapter, which means we've already gone through the first two of the, there's four appearances in John 20. First, the appearance of absence. And John and Peter run out there after Mary sees that, and then they leave. Bewildered, but not much brighter. John, though, he saw and believed. He's moving that way. Then, the next section, down to verse 18, is the meeting with Mary, which we've already commented on, because it's already a reading for us. Now we have the next section, which is 19 to 23. It's the meeting in the upper room when Thomas, wasn't there. He'll get there for the next one. But so the text now says, when it was evening on that day, that's that first day of the week where the other two apparitions have taken place, and the doors were closed where the disciples were because of the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said, Shalom lachem, peace to you. Shalom, peace. That means everything right in the relationship. See, I think I've already told you, in modern Hebrew, to pay back a debt, says L'shalem, to make right, peace. And he says to them, Shalom. Shalom lachem. As the Father sent me, so I send you. What a way to treat traitors. These guys went and hid. They're still hiding. even after Mary told him she saw him. That's us, especially we clergy. And so, he said that, and they rejoiced seeing the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace. As the Father sent me, so I send you." What generosity. Instead of saying, "You guys betrayed me, you ran away," but no. Let that reality always burn in your heart so that you know what you're capable of. But don't live there. Live where I put you. Shalom. And be ready to do all the things that I've done. In fact, as he promises, you'll do greater things because I go to the Father. And so, saying this, he breathed on and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now look at this power. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you hold the sins of any, they are held." Now, we have to kind of work on that. What does that mean? Well, in Matthew 16:19, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Why? Because it's Christ in the church through the apostles, the bishops and their assistants, the priests. "Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven," again in Matthew 18. "And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then John 20:23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you hold the sins of any, they are held." And now, it means forgive. Like sin is a rope. It's a weight. It's a debt. The word for sin in Aramaic is hov, which means debt. That's why the old translation, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," because sin puts us in debt to God. Okay, now, in Job 42, "And he loosed the sin for them because of Job, and he forgave them the sin." So you have the two words, huh? This is God did this. "He loosed the sin, and he forgave the sin." That's in Job 42:10. So, loose here means forgive, okay? There are other texts that you could investigate, Sirach 38, and some others. Then I want to look just a bit so we get an idea of this world. There's this text. I don't know whether I want to go through the whole. Never mind. "A blast of the horn at banning binds, and a blast of the horn looses." Now, also, this is a targum. What I'm looking at now is almost contemporary Jewish literature to get an idea of what binding and loosing mean. But in the context, this is the text in the targum, right where we are, you know, and where we could be. That is in Genesis 4. So then, by way of a summary, this is my summary. The expression "bind loose" indicates an exercise of authority whose exact import depends upon the context. This is from my class notes. It can apply to a body of elders whose authority is clear because of a traditional mode of recognizing authority within a religious tradition. Or it may refer to a legitimizing or invalidating a private decision or a vow. I go and I said, "I vow to give away half my wealth, but my wife is driving me crazy, I can't do it." Well, then they loose you from the vow, you see, if they think they should. It may refer to legitimizing or invalidating a private decision or vow. It may refer to admitting or excluding someone from communal life, which is closer. Why? You see, why can't you go to communion if you're in mortal sin? Because you can't participate in the fullness of the life of the community. You've cut yourself off from it. It's terrible. And, you know, we're so dumb. If we're in mortal sin, we walk around for months not knowing, we've dried up the whole source of grace that comes from being in deep, if you will, mystical unity with the church and the church we worship with. It may refer to legitimating or invalidating a private decision or vow, or it may refer to admitting or excluding someone from communal life. It may refer to sin and forgiveness, as in the Targum on Genesis, the one I just referred to, the one where he's talking, I thought of it, I would have bought the Targum. He's talking, Genesis 4, that's Cain and Abel. And then, forgiving Cain. The Matthean text, referring to Peter and the disciples, the two I read to you, most probably refer to sin. This is further intensified and directed by the Johannine use of the same tradition. If you declare somebody's sins, forgive them, says Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I forgive them. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's why some of the saints went to confession every day. And some of us go like every year at great trouble. It's a gift. It's a gift. And the Holy Spirit himself is the forgiveness of sins. That used to be the post-communion for the Tuesday after Easter. Now it's somewhere else down the pike during Easter week. And I forgot about it till this minute, or I would have looked it up. But it's still a post-communion. And it talks about, in the Latin text, ipse est remissio peccatorum. He himself, that's the Spirit, is the remission of sin. You just don't get sins removed and left a big blank space. What happens is the Holy Spirit is restored to you and sin is pushed out. I remember, I think I've told you this before, hearing a little boy's first confession. And his mom was waiting outside on the porch. And so when I was done, gave him the absolution. He went out to his mom. He took her hand in his, and he jumped and skipped all the way home. He was so happy. The Spirit had revealed something to him that he probably couldn't even articulate. I'm sure there were no mortal sins on his life, but he received the joy of forgiveness. That's what the Lord is telling us, you see, about this text. And so, that is this very important text, which is the next to conclusion. The text goes on in John 24, because Thomas was there with them and all the rest. But it's just beautiful. All right, we'll stop with that.